Today's readings have a special emphasis on the scriptures, the inspired word of God. In the gospel, Jesus gives an interpretation of one of the Psalms. And when he gave it, it says the great crowd heard it with delight. Whenever I read that, I say, I don't think people who come to Mass find this particular gospel very delightful. It seems to us like a kind of a technicality. Anyway, we'll get to that in a moment about the scriptures. And then in the first reading, St. Paul gives wise advice to his young protege, Timothy, about the importance of scripture. So that's one aspect of today's liturgy. Another aspect of the liturgy is what I mentioned at the beginning. First of all, we're celebrating the feast day of the great apostle to Germany, St. Boniface. And then we're also following the First Friday tradition, so we're honoring the Sacred Heart today, and we're preparing for the Feast of the Sacred Heart next Friday, actually Feast of the Sacred Heart and of the Immaculate Heart the following day. So what we have here is two different approaches to our religion. There's the scriptural approach, and then there's the devotional liturgical approach, which they go together fine. I don't think most Catholics would find that difficult at all. When they hear mention of the saints, you say, yes, we have devotion to the saints. There are brothers, our sisters, there are heavenly advocates. And when we hear about devotion to the Sacred Heart, we say, well, beautiful. That's an expression of God's love for us, and we love him in return. But if you know, or if you come from a Protestant background, if you know any Protestants, especially evangelical, when they hear about First Fridays or Sacred Heart or honoring saints, they really get nervous about it because it seems to them a violation of the scriptures. And they love the scriptures. They love the inspired word of God. And anything that they think doesn't follow the scriptures or obey the word of God, well, then it's suspect or maybe evil. So if anyone has a statue of the Sacred Heart, my goodness, that would really disturb them. I was thinking about this. When it comes to the Sacred Heart, it seems to me it's not that much different. Now, this is a Catholic approach, but the devotion to the Sacred Heart is not so much different from what the evangelicals emphasize, accepting your Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the expression they always use. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, which is, of course, an essential thing to do. He is our Lord and Savior, and we do have to accept him, so they're right. But that's exactly what devotion to the Sacred Heart is all about, is accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And the enthronement of the Sacred Heart in people's homes and the devotion is exactly that. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of our home. He's our Savior. This image reminds us of that essential truth of our faith. So I don't think on that level there's that huge a gap. Again, a Catholic could understand that this way, but maybe a Protestant might not want to accept it quite like that. But I don't think it's that different, because it's focused on Jesus Christ and his saving and sacrificial love for us. One thing that's a little harder for people who are not Catholic to recognize is the centrality of the Eucharist. We're going to celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi on Sunday. An expression of our love for Jesus in the Eucharist, our gratitude for his gift of his whole self in the Eucharist. And once we emphasize this, then we have a bigger gap between us and our Protestant brothers and sisters, because they don't believe in the Eucharist, and they again think, well, now you're getting in the way of Scripture again. Our position is both. Yes, the sacraments and the scriptures, scripture and tradition. We're not against the Word of God by any means, no, but the Word of God itself points us to the heart of Jesus and points us to the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Well, I say it's both, whereas the from a Protestant perspective, they would say that you've got to have the scriptures and you can't have anything else. Sola scriptura, sola scripture alone. Well, let's look at what the today's readings say about the scriptures, since this really is the emphasis of today's liturgical readings. First of all, this passage that we read from Mark chapter 12, again, this is the near the very end of Jesus' public ministry. It's Holy Week, and he's running into these constant conflicts with the religious authorities in the temple. And so, and they've been asking him different questions, and he refutes them all, he answers them all. Now he asks a question. What about the relationship between David and the Messiah? Everybody knows that the Messiah was prophesied to be a descendant of David. Exactly right. Descendant of David, or son of David is the expression. A descendant of David. Now, in the Jewish way of thinking, the descendant is less than the ancestor. Ancestors are a higher ranking than their children and their descendants. So that would make David higher ranking than the Messiah, who is one of his descendants. At least that's implied. But Jesus picks out this line from Psalm 110, where David says, the Lord, meaning God, said to my Lord, my master, the one who ranks above me. So David is referring to someone whom the Lord designates as someone above him. That's the Messiah. Sit at your, my right hand till I place your enemies under your feet. Well, this is David referring to the Messiah as my Lord. So someone higher than he is. So this is a, it sounds like a technicality to us, but this was to make the scribes and the Pharisees recognize that there's more to the Messiah than they might be thinking. He might be not only the descendant of David, but superior to David. In fact, the Lord of David. Open your hearts, Jesus is saying, to the greatness of the Messiah, greater than you think. Not, don't limit your understanding of the Messiah to the little box that you have, another David. Maybe he's greater than David. It says it right here in the Psalms. And that's why the people found this so delightful, that Jesus is proclaiming something even greater than the scribes were. And they already suspected that this greater than David person was Jesus himself. That was the popular opinion. Remember, when passage here comes after Palm Sunday. They hailed Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to this man Jesus. The Messiah. And that was the raging debate in Jerusalem. Is this the Messiah? He could certainly be the Messiah. And that's what Jesus wants them to know. Yes, he's the Messiah, but he's more than what they think the Messiah is. So that's a right interpretation of Scripture. What Jesus does is he takes the Scripture and he says, David was inspired by the Holy Spirit when he wrote this. Now we have to be inspired by the Holy Spirit to interpret it properly, and you scribes, you're not getting the whole value of the Word of God. So that's what this gospel is doing. It's opening us, not only the scribes, but also us, to the greatness of the Messiah revealed in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament. I know when people are used to this, used to pondering the Scriptures. I mean, I know a lot of times people say that the Protestants know the Bible and the Catholics know the devotions and the sacraments. And that's why Protestants, when they become Catholic, they say, how do these Catholics, they don't know the Bible. They don't know the stories of the Bible. And sometimes it's true, but, and if it is true, then that's to our disadvantage. But we emphasize pondering the word in our hearts, because the word of God is food for the soul. The word of God is God's speaking to us, and that's what he's doing here in the gospel. And this is what St. Paul is saying to Timothy in the latter part of today's first reading. He says, yes, there's going to be persecution. I've experienced it. You see how it goes. Anybody who's going to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ is going to experience persecution. But don't get so worried about it, because the Lord provides. And one of the ways he provides is the sacred scriptures. So that's why Paul says to him, remain faithful to what you have learned and believed. You learned you from your infancy. You have known the sacred scriptures. Now he's talking about what we call the Old Testament. The gift given to the Jews, the law and the prophets, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And then he gives this famous and great description of what we believe about the scriptures. All scripture is inspired by God. It's inspired. It's filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the divine author of the scriptures. Is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for refutation, for correction, and for training in righteousness. All scripture is a precious means by which we can grow and be corrected and be taught, so that one who belongs to God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So this is an affirmation of the importance of sacred scripture. We don't isolate scripture from the rest of the sacred tradition, but we do treasure the scriptures. In fact, you know the famous quotation from St. Jerome, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. So don't let devotion or the richness of Catholic tradition get in the way of also the richness of the sacred scriptures. They go together. So as we celebrate First Friday, which is a devotion based on a private revelation, but is an affirmation of what we find in the scriptures, the heart of Jesus. And as we celebrate Corpus Christi on Sunday, with the great devotions to Jesus and the Eucharist, we're fulfilling what is in the scriptures. Okay, so be good Catholics, which means also have a great love for the sacred scriptures. Ponder the word in your heart, just as Mary does.